Hey guys, welcome back to Maintaining the Meat in Marriage and Motherhood. I'm Lashana, and today was like a perfect example of you don't have control over everything, no matter, even if your schedule is perfectly planned out and all of these different things, something can always come up to throw your day completely off, but it's always what I say meant to be, because the way that you start your day can be have all the best intentions, but then there can be one thing that can happen that just totally turns your morning upside down, and then it redirects your entire day. But at the end of it all, it's totally worth it because it ends up being exactly what you needed in most cases. And sometimes it's just to slow you down, because as moms and wives and all these different hats that we wear as women, you know, we can get so carried away with our planners and checking off our errand list and making all these different lists and making sure all these things get done and trying to manage a household and manage yourself and, you know, job and kids and all this stuff. We can just get blown away, you know, and overworked. And today was one of those days where I was just like, you know what, God, you are in control and you keep having to remind me. And it is what it is. I just had to just give up. I gave my day up to God. And, you know, and it's been good because I've actually gotten a whole lot done with an impromptu work from home day. So just to fill you guys in on what happened. So I wake up, first of all, I woke up at about 7 o'clock, which is late for me. I went to bed late. So I woke up at about 7. We usually try to leave the house at about between 7:20 and 7:30 to get the kids, you know, so I can get the kids on time. And so this morning, and they're all old enough to like get themselves ready, which is a blessing. So moms that have kids that you're still getting ready in the morning to get them in the car, strapping the seatbelt, there is a rainbow at the end of the tunnel, let me tell you. And the earlier you teach your kids independence, the freer you will be as a mom in the morning. So my kids are 10, 12, and 14. And so they're all able to, of course, with a little friendly reminders, gentle reminders, and sometimes not so gentle reminders, they're able to get themselves ready in the morning. So I don't have to like physically brush teeth. I just have to say, hey, everybody brush your teeth. Hey, you ready to go? Okay, you got 10 minutes. Do you have this done? Did you get your stuff signed? Did you get, you know, just to kind of get them going, but I don't have to physically get kids dressed anymore. And so that is a beautiful thing to look forward to, moms that are still, you know, in that little nesting period and you're frustrated and your kids want to wear, you know, their Spider-Man pajamas to school. You know, there are definitely more independent days to come in your motherhood. So that's where I am now. So anyway, back to my morning. So I get up, kids are ready to go. It's actually testing week here in California. And so I have a fourth grader, a sixth grader, and an eighth grader. So they're all testing this week. And so we were trying to leave a little bit earlier. And so I got up, you know, got up, threw some clothes on, ready to run out the door. So I'm like, okay, everybody in the car is like, yeah. So Savannah, she's in the car already. Other two were kind of straggling behind, but they're like, yeah, we're ready. But we had plenty of time. It was like, you know, for us to go get out the house, it was like 7:20 and we were ready to go. So I'm headed to the car, getting in the car. So Savannah was already in the car. I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, got my keys. She's like, no, the car door was already unlocked. And so in the morning, my husband usually, if I'm parked in the garage and I'm blocking his car, he'll just, if he's parked in the garage and I'm blocking his car, he'll just move my car out the way and then pull his car out and then either pull my car in the garage or just put it like in front of the garage or whatever and keep going. So the car was outside, but it was unlocked. So she said, oh no, daddy must've left the car unlocked. I just was in, I didn't see your keys. I'm like, okay. So I run back in the house. I'm looking for my keys. Can't find my keys. I'm like, okay, so now it's like 7:30. And now in order for the kids not to be late, for my youngest daughter not to be late to school, we have to leave no later than 7:40. Like if it's 7:41, it can set me back 10 minutes and she's late. And in their testing, her teachers already sent out the text message like, if any kids are late to school, they're going to be locked out and in the office until testing is over, and they're going to have to reassign, their testing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So that was the weekly message. So we're trying to thump and get out early. So I look at the time, it's 7:30. So now my blood is starting to warm up. I'm getting a little anxious. I can't find my keys. Go outside, I check my purse again. I'm like, I don't know where my keys are. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking on the couch, pulling up pillows. So then my older son gets out of the car. He's look helping me look. Keys are nowhere to be found. So I did not want to, at this time it's like 7:35, and I did not want to think that my husband could have possibly, in moving my car out of the way to get his car out, accidentally took my keys to work, not when he works like almost an hour away. And he's in a training where I know that once he gets an hour away, it takes like an hour and a half for him to get to work, that there's no way that I'm going to be able to get my keys. So I don't even want to entertain that. I'm going to give myself another 5 minutes to look for these keys, because if I find them, boom, 7:40, we can still be out the door and make it to school on time. So it's 7:39 and we still can't find my keys. So I go to the car, call my husband. Hey, do you have my keys? He's like, no. So for that second, I'm like, relieved. Okay, so they have to be somewhere in the house. Let me just stop panicking and look for them. Before I can hang up, he's like, oh, wait. Oh, shit, babe. I don't know how I got your keys. Flatline. Now I'm just like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? I call my friend who lives too far from me. Her kids go to school not that far. But I'm looking at the time and she's a teacher, so I'm like, I know she's gone already. But let me just call her and see if maybe she's on her way to take her kids to school. So she's like, no, I'm already at the school. I wish I would have known. I would have just scooped them up. I'm like, fuck. Okay, so I've never even used Uber. My first Uber ride, no word of a lie, was with Yasmeen maybe a month ago. We rode together to an event and she's like, oh, we can just, I have all these Uber points. I'm like a little paranoid about other people driving me places that I don't know. And so I've never used Uber, and that was my first Uber ride experience. And it was cool, whatever, but I didn't think about it for my children. And so I know there's people that Uber, Lyft and Uber their kids to school all the time, just with the convenience and the timing, whatever. And so it's 7:45 and I'm like, fuck, I don't have my keys. I know that there's no way I'm getting my keys back today, period. I have two meetings, that one at 10 and one at 12, that are in LA, and it's 7:45 and I don't have no keys, and my keys are an hour, probably an hour and a half away from me right now, just because that's how much traffic is going to be even to get to my husband's job. So I'm just like, okay, my keys are out of the question. This car right here is not moving today, period. I'm not gonna see my car keys until 6 o'clock for sure. So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna have to call an Uber. So I called an Uber, and so I try to make it really smooth for the kids. So I'm just like, you know what? You guys are gonna have to take an Uber. The elementary school is across the street from the middle school. It's like maybe, it's like a block and a half away. It's like literally around the corner on the curb. It's like across the street, basically, up the block and across the street. So I'm like, it's a one-stop shop, so I'm just gonna have all of you guys get dropped off at the elementary school, and then the two middle schoolers, you guys are gonna have to walk around the corner to school together. So I was a little at ease because I was like, okay, well, it'll be all three of them together in the car. The school is literally like 8 minutes away. The Uber driver can come. None of my kids will be in the car alone at any time because all three of them are going to get dropped off at the same spot, and then the last two will have to walk together. So they will always have someone with them, which is why I definitely think that people should have more than one kid. Anyway, for moments like that. So, long story short, they got to school. I had to Uber them. Didn't get my keys. I rescheduled my meetings. It was fine. So by 8:15, everybody was at school. Everybody was safe. It was all good. And now I have a full day at home. I called my team and I let them know that I wasn't going to be able to make it. I called my client and let her know that I'm going to have to reschedule. And it was all good. And in fact, one of my team members, my coworkers, she actually was sick today. So she was just like, oh, I didn't want to cancel last minute. I'm so glad that you have to reschedule it because honestly, I'm just not feeling good. And so I was going to make it just because I didn't want to, cancel at the last minute. But I'm really grateful that this happened because I really wasn't up to meeting today. So I was like, perfect. So by 8:30, I had my resolve and I was like, you know what? I have been planning a sick day. It's Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's really hard for me to take days off of work. I don't know why, but it just is. I'm always like putting off my day offs, and I have been planning on taking a day off of work this entire week. I kept saying, well, I'm just going to take that day off. I'm going to take this day off. So God said, listen, if I don't take her keys, she's not going to take this time off. And really, I need to be focusing. I need to be focusing on what's next. And I've been putting it off and putting it off. And so this morning, I was like, okay, I'm not going to work today. I'm going to be home all day. This is my time to really start getting cracking on what I need to do. Because I've been, trying to work on my blog for the website. And get the podcast and all that stuff organized because I haven't been able to give it as much attention as I want because I have other things on my plate. So now that I have some things off my plate and my time is opening up a little bit more, I'm able to focus on some things that I really want to focus on and really do and, make the podcast better. And connect it to the website and the blog and all that stuff. So it gives me a chance to even do a little research on what I can do next. And so I had been wanting to look at a couple of YouTube videos and some things. So I was like, today is going to be the day. And I finally was able to do that. And I'm like, and I'm going to get a podcast done today while the house is quiet. I'm going to have time to research. And I had a couple of podcast topics that I was going to do. But then how my day went, I ended up going on Instagram to like update a story and stuff because I just posted the podcast that I did last week for yesterday. So posted that, looked at that, did some comments, whatever. And so I saw that the Red Table Talk interview that I had wanted to watch with Ayesha Curry had came on already. And I haven't had a chance to even look at it. But I saw that there was like some negative feedback about some things that she said on there. So I didn't have a chance to like review it or anything. So I was like, oh, well, I wanted to watch it anyway. So I'm gonna To watch, I wanted to watch it, so I'm like, I'm gonna watch the Red Table Talk and see what all the hype is about and get to see, what she's talking about. And so that's how I ended up with the topic of today, which is wives supporting wives. So, with my morning being as crazy as it was, I still was able to pull some good stuff out of it and give myself a chance to really research and look at videos. And I'm such a YouTuber, I watch, influencers, and I watch, like I've said before, like TD Jakes and Dr. Miles Monroe, different teachers where they talk about relationships and encouragement, entrepreneurship, all these different things. And so this morning, I was able to watch the Red Table Talk. And so I did see there was a couple things in there where she kind of talked about like her relationship or whatever, but I was surprised that I didn't see, and I haven't been looking for it, but I haven't really been scrolling on Instagram this week, just mostly posting. But I hadn't seen any really positive feedback from the Red Table Talk, and not because it's not out there, just that I didn't see it. People were, from what I see, were just focusing on whatever it was Aisha was talking about, as far as her relationship, and so. When I watched watched the actual, well, I guess it's considered like a live podcast, it was really good. I mean, really good. I got some really good keynotes from it, and I wanted to highlight the positives of it because there were so many good gems in there. And it's really how I came up with my podcast topic of today, which is wives supporting wives. I think that, in our marriages and in our motherhood and all of the in our marriages, we get so caught up in our own that we don't get a chance to really support each other like we should. And I feel like that was really has been my goal. That's why I started the podcast, was really to support women and support wives. And in the beginning, I was saying like, oh, I just want to support women. And then as time has gone on, I'm like, well, I think that I really just want to focus more on moms and relationships, and what single motherhood or co-parenting and like the different aspects of, of marriage and, you know, in life and just being a woman and our perspective. But I feel like I've probably gotten away when I was looking back. I'm like, I think I've kind of gotten away from the wives supporting wives. And that's really a big thing for me because I feel like wives get overlooked because people, especially in relationship advice type of things, or, you know, because you're already married, because you have your quote unquote MRS, people don't feel like you need the support as much because you've already hit the jackpot. You've already gotten to your destination. You're already married. You already got the man. You already got the children. You got the family. You got the job. You have the dream, you know, and then but people don't know what's going on inside of the nucleus. They don't realize that even if you get your MRS, that's just step one is getting to the wedding. But the marriage is something totally different. And in the show, I also didn't realize that the Currys have such a long, extensive basketball history. I didn't realize that Steph Curry's, I'm not a super, you know, sports follower or anything. I don't know very much about it. I just know like the people that they talk about the most. And so I didn't realize that Steph Curry's dad was also a professional basketball player and that him and Aisha had been married for a really long time and that his own parents had been married for a really long time. So his parents had been married for 30 years and his mom was on there, Sonya Curry. And she was saying that, you know, she met her husband when she was 18 and now she's 53. And they've been married for 30 years and they have children and now grandchildren. And, you know, her son married someone that he's known since he was 15. So, and he's a professional basketball player. And then her daughter married a professional basketball player. And then her son also is a professional basketball player or is plays basketball. And he married like a famous coach, Doc Rivers. His daughter, he's marrying her. So they're like very entangled in the NBA. Like their whole life is surrounded by basketball, which is something that I didn't know. So that was interesting to know. But the mother was saying some really key things. And I feel like sometimes there's so much distance between people that we don't realize how much we have in common and how relatable just being a wife is to other wives, regardless of your finances. Your financial status, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of if you have, you know, how many children you have, if you're empty nest or whatever, we are all as people, as women, as wives, we're all dealing with the same type of vulnerability, insecurities, level of commitment, all those things. We're all dealing with the same thing. And so there were a few key things that I wrote down that I wanted to bring up in today's podcast, and they're pretty relatable to everybody. So I wanted to point out the positives in what they were talking about because it was, I think that it'll be really helpful to you guys and to anyone that that hasn't watched it yet. And if you haven't watched it, I strongly encourage you to watch it yourself and see from your perspective like what you got out of it. But the first thing I want to talk about is Jada Pinkett actually said this was that how unions go through many stages. So in your marriage union, okay, the first step is just getting married. So when you're married, okay, now you may have lived together before or maybe not. You may have children already before you got married or you may not. So just understanding that wherever your starting point is from the day you say I do, legally married, on the books, you got your paperwork, you in the game, you know, that's just step one of the process. You just now getting together in a marriage. So even if you were already living together, because in my situation, we were already had two kids and we were already living together and had already been living together for a couple years. So, but the day that we got married and our situation, it changed. We go from, you know, you locked in now. It's different. You know, it's already an automatically different responsibility and commitment level. So that's just day one. You're jumping into something brand new. So you're, you know, it's still life. You're still the same people who you were. Nobody magically turns into anyone else. It's just the expectation changes. So just knowing that unions go through many stages, it should make you more empathetic to people and their marriages and their situations and what they're going through. Don't just assume just because people are married that they're happy or that they're perfect or they're trying to emulate something perfect. Sometimes they're just trying to have something sacred around something that's very fragile, you know? So unions go through many stages. And just thinking about it, if you just think about how old you were, well, how you are now compared to being 18. She'd been with her husband since she was 18. So think about from 18 to however old you are, how many times you've changed or how many transitions of life and stages and mindsets you've been in since you've been alive since 18. Like it could be 10 years, you may be 28, 38, 48. Think about your different transitions in your 20s and in your 30s and your 40s or however many decades you've been here. You know, just thinking about how many changes you've went through and then imagine yourself in your relationship going through all of those different stages glued to a person. You know, and all of the stages that they're going through and trying to make that work. So marriage is definitely not easy. It is a beautiful thing, but it is a very tough thing to keep together. So when you do see people that have been married for a long time, instead of criticizing and being really hard on them or trying to find out the tea and, you know, being overcritical, salute them because it is not easy to be married and it's not easy to stay married. So for anybody to get through years and years of marriage, it definitely deserves some recognition. And, you know, instead of being hateful towards a person or critical, how about getting out a pen and paper and trying to figure out what they're doing to make it last? They got some good tips in there. So that was one. It was your union goes through many stages, and in those stages that there's a different commitment at different levels. So I thought that was excellent because understanding that there's what it looks like, it's like your balance changes. You know, sometimes depending on what year it is, you know, if you have very young kids and they're all in daycare and you know, you're both working, your schedule's gonna look different than it is if you have one parent that's gonna be able to stay at home. That's gonna make your day look totally different than it would if you're both working and kids are in daycare than if you have a parent that's home that's picking up the kids from school and able to make dinner. It's going to look different. So just keeping those things in mind that at every stage that there is going to be you're going to it's going to look different. And so she described three different levels, and so I'm going to read the levels and then I'm going to talk about what level I'm in right now, and I want you guys to kind of think about what level you're into. And hold on, let me get back to my notes. Okay, so the first level that she mentioned was your first level will be commitment to the person. So that's when you first get married and you're all in love and it's just all about you guys and your new union and you're all blissful and happy and blah blah blah. So that's the first level. And then the second level is when you're together because you're committed to the family, because now at this point you've had children or more children, and now it becomes less about you two as a couple and more about the unit as a family. And so in this level, it's like, okay, you may have your differences, you may be going through things, there may have been challenges, but you're not just thinking about yourself and your partner. Now it's like, okay, well, we also have to consider the children. We have to consider how comfortable they are, you know, what we will be doing to them if we don't stay together. So that's the next stage and level of commitment. Like you can be committed to each other, but once you two are not even getting along to the point where you may be possibly breaking up, it can go to a different level of commitment where it's like, okay, we may not be getting along too much, but we may want to make things work out just because if there's a possibility for it to work, we do have to consider these children. Like it's bigger than, at this point, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than just the union. It's more of a community thing. It's a family thing. It's a unit thing. So that's the second level. And then the third level of commitment, she mentioned was like the empty nesting, because now all of their kids are grown and they have grandkids and it's just them. And now they're back to just the two. And so how do you make that work? Because at the third level, you've been together at this point for 20, 30 years. And so it's not the same lovey-dovey that you had before all of the children, before all of the memories, before all of the stress, before all of the up and down finances or whatever you went through all of the turmoil and still continue to stay together after the kids are gone. If you've been at the second level of commitment, you know, where you're staying committed just, you know, to keep the family together, now your family is grown and there it's just back to you two. Now it's like you're coming to the table to figure out, okay, now that we've been through all of these things and now it's back to us, are we going to stay together? Why are we going to stay together? And how can we make it work on this level? So I thought that this was really a good bit of advice and information for any married couples that are going through, one of these stages and trying to figure out where they are and what level they're on. I definitely am at level two because right now it's bigger than just me and him. It's more about our family and we make family decisions. And I think that it is a good place to be if you are even in consideration of the family, because I think that when you're together for a long time, this is like one of the curses of getting married very young, is that because you're going through so many different changes in your own person and you're not really settled into life, you maybe have not picked a career yet, you may have not gotten settled in your purpose or understand what your purpose is right now. And so you're still growing with a person that may not know their purpose, or they may know that, but you're just not on the same accord. Having other things keep you together besides each other is going to be key, because you're not always going to want to stay together just because of the love of the other person. It's just not life. It's not realistic. You're going to go through shit. And when you're going through shit, you need to be able to look outside of your own needs and your own wants to think about somebody else. And so, yeah, it may not be, rose petals and freaking, vacations in Dubai. But at the end of the day, it's about you and your unit and your safety net for your children and for your family. And you're able to look at that and say, you know what? We're not getting along right now. Let's just take a break from the problems and let's look at the bigger picture. You got to look at the legacy. You need to look at the bigger picture. And is that worth saving? Is it worth it? Is it worth breaking up? Is it worth having your kids separated, from you for a certain amount of days or weeks or whatever? Is it worth your kids having to live in two different households? Is it worth it, taking your kids possibly out of the school that they're in and put them somewhere in a central location because you guys can't live close? Is it worth them not being able to be with their parents every day and they have to choose between a parent or who they want to live with? Is whatever problem that you're having right now, is it worth separating your children from their parent? And so when you're at that second level of commitment, it's when you really got to be grown, and you really got to start dissecting and looking at your relationship as bigger than just yourself, bigger than just your partner, and more about the overall consequence it's going to have on the people that didn't even ask to be here, that you brought in when all your love and lust was popping. You brought these people in it, you brought these little children in it, and now they're going to be affected by your decision for the rest of their lives because you can't get along or because something has happened to where there's a possible break in the foundation. So definitely you want to think about it. I'm always very conscious of that. And so I always try to talk to people about it and I'm not judgmental, because there's some times where you may not be able to stay together. It would be better for you to have to co-parent. It just is what it is. But when you're married, and if you are a wife and you're listening and you're having a hard time right now, I just want you to think about the end result. Kind of take your situation and put it on the table and try to look at it from the outside looking in and see if there's anything you can do to salvage it so that you don't have to separate yourself from your family for your kids' sake, for the unit's sake, for the legacy. For the third level, I definitely want to get some wives on here that are in the empty nest stage of their marriages and shed some light on that, on what it looks like, because I think that that's important too, with understanding that when the kids are gone, there is going to be a different level. So I don't really have any expertise in that area. So I try to talk about things that I know or that I've experienced. And so I definitely want to get somebody in here that can share their situation. So if you are a person that's listening that is an empty nester and you can relate, or you know someone, please definitely hit me up in my DMs and make the suggestions, link them up with me. And I'm going to start looking to talk to some wives that are more seasoned in their marriages and are in that emptiness, so they can shed some insight on that. So yeah, those were the three levels that she talked about. And she also talked about personal goals and being caught up in the lifestyle of being a wife and a mom and, you know, having a high profile husband and just wanting her independence. And she wanted to be known as more than just like Sonya Curry. She was his, you know, his wife. She wanted to have her own thing. And so one of her personal goals, she said, was to be financially independent. And that never happened. And so she talked about it, and I really felt her on that, because I feel like maintaining the me in marriage and motherhood is embodies all of those type of feelings. It's like you want to be yourself. Like, I do want to be Lashana. I don't always want to be, you know, Ronell's wife, or, you know, the kid's mom, or, you know, like, you do want to have your own identity, and you want to make sure that you're not getting lost once your kids get older, that you do have a piece of yourself, so that you're not like looking for new PTA board members to, you know, run into different, you know, just trying to, you know, keep up with whatever your kids are doing so that they can live happy lives on their own, so that you're not becoming one of those crazy obsessed moms that, you know, have nothing better to do, or you're so detached from your marriage and your husband, and you've become so enmeshed with your kids that now that they're gone, you have no connection with your husband, and you can't even have like a decent, normal relationship with your kids because you're still trying to mother them when they're like grown and ready to go, you know? So definitely wanting to maintain that independence. But I did want to speak more to when she talked about how, you know, she never did become financially independent. I think that it's important for women to have their own, and even in the Bible, as Proverbs 31, woman, you know, she had enough to be able to buy her own land, and, you know, she was a contributor to her household. And so I think that when we are thinking about being financially independent, I think that it's more of the interdependence that we need to latch onto as wives, and understanding that we need to start embracing the new role. You know, embracing, of course, you do want some individuality within that. You don't want to totally lose yourself, but understanding at the end of the day, the old you is no more. You are no longer the person that you were before you were married, the person you were before you had children. Like, this is who the new you is, and you have to start to learn and figure out what the balance is in that. So not like shedding away who you are now. And it's like you go through all these relationships and you go, you know, you end up getting married, and you, or you don't go through a lot of relationships, but you end up getting married and you get to your ultimate relationship goal, and then you want to be out of it. It's like you asked for the MRS and now you want the MS back. It's like, what's, you know? So I think that, and it's not so much that people don't want to be married anymore or they don't want to have that attachment. I think that they get so lost in that they lose their identity, and people are just really harsh. They're just cruel. And eventually you start to feel, you know, lost in a title or in, you know, in this lifestyle of being a mother and a wife, to where your own needs are just not being met. And so I think that if we're able to balance that out to where you're spending a little bit of time with yourself every single day, even if it's 10 minutes in the car with the radio off, where you can just think and eat some yogurt or something, ice cream, whatever, and just enjoy the quiet and think in alone time, you know, it will go a long way in the long run. So where you don't feel so boxed off from yourself to where you just don't even want to be a wife anymore, or you just don't even want to be a mother anymore because it's completely consumed you. So I think keeping those personal goals at the top priority, not so much an independence, because it's going to be dangerous getting too independent. Because if you do want to separate to that level of just being independent, then there's parts in your marriage that you might want to address of why you need to feel independent. Is there something going on to where you feel too dependent on your partner, to where you may need to get like a part-time job to have a little of your own money, where you're not asking for money for something else, where you feel like you can't do what you want to do because you have someone else that's kind of controlling the ship, because you don't have financial independence. You can't just go get money and do what you want to do, So definitely keeping your personal goals in there regularly, where you're getting some stuff done for yourself, but definitely not getting too overboard to where you just want to be separated and you want to have your own money to be able to do your own thing, and you get lost in that, and then it can possibly affect your marriage in a negative way. So definitely keeping those personal goals a priority, but keeping that balance. And just remembering that God's intention for marriage is for you to become one. And so I know that there are times when you feel like, because I know I've definitely, especially when I was home with the kids for those 5 years when I took off work and I was just like going to school and just like a mom to my kids, it definitely got draining. And I was just like, okay, this is not for me. Like, I need to be doing something else. I got to do more than just, this routine of like laundry and cooking and taking care of kids and picking kids up from school and rocking kids and, being at home all day. And it started to just get to be too much, or just, going to the park and going to the gym. And, it was just like I didn't feel like I was using my brain enough in a way that made me feel like an adult and having like more adult conversations where I was really challenging myself. It just became really hard. And Aisha Curry definitely talked about the balance, and that's where she was struggling of having work-life balance. And so I think that's something that's also very relatable to everyone. All women, no matter how much money you have, we're still all dealing with the balance between work life, mom life, and wife life. Like, are you giving everything up so that you can be supportive to your husband's dreams? Are you, giving everything up so that you can be a supportive mom, so that you can be able to go to the school and pick your kids up and, make sure dinner's ready at a certain time? It's like we all mentally deal with those type of things, and it's really about finding out what works best for you. How does that look? And knowing that there's some years where it's going to look different. Like, yeah, I took those 5 years off in my early 30s. I was 30 years old, or 29, I think. 29 when I took off work. We moved to Atlanta. I was 29. And I didn't go back to work till I was like 35. And I had been working since I was like 18. So it was very foreign to me to just take off work and just live off of one income. And, it was really difficult. But you have to wrap your head around wherever you're at that moment. Like, you are at that place at that moment. You wrap your head around it, and you can make plans for what you want to do later. Just knowing that this is not the end, that there's some stages. This is another stage of commitment, or another stage in your relationship where you are sacrificing for the good of what could be better later. So, and it means something different to everyone. So, just figuring out what that work-life balance is for you. And, balancing your kids in there and understanding that there's going to be times where you're just not going to be able to be with your kids 24 hours a day. Like, shit got to get done. You just cannot be doting. And guess what? They need the independence too. They need to have their own friends. They need to be learning social skills. They need to be, bonding with their friends and in school or at in like different sports leagues or whatever, so that they're learning how to work with other people and learning social skills, learning how to team build and be a team player, and learning how to deal with teachers that they don't like, and knowing they have to get a grade. It's so many like life lessons that you have to learn from your peers and from people outside of your household, that it's just a different stage. And so be okay with wherever you are now, knowing that you can start today to make some changes if you're not happy with where you are now in your work-life balance. Like, every day is going to look different. Every week is going to look different. And every year is going to look different. And so just be okay with it and just embracing that, embracing your new normal and making it normal for as long as it's not. And then there'll be another new normal and it's okay. So that was another good tidbit that I got from the show, was just balancing, is definitely something that we're all dealing with. We're all trying to figure out what's going on, and trying to maintain ourselves, maintain our sanity. Like, just like today, how I had my whole day planned, and we've gotten to school early every day. And then today, my husband takes my keys to work, and I can't get everybody to school on time. And it's a natural consequence. It's out of my control. So what do? You have to pull out your toolkit. You know, you call up somebody or you, you know, get your resources together and, you know, and you just be thankful that you have Uber money. You know, you just have to look at the good of it all. So just want to like point out some positive things and, you know, just making sure that we're supportive of each other and knowing that we're all women and we're all going through the same types of things. So that was another good one, was the balance. And then let me see, was something else on here? Oh, with the being vulnerable. So, you know, I saw the part where she was getting a lot of slack about, I guess they were talking, you know, when they were talking about her with all the women, you know, dealing with the different, all the women throwing themselves at her husband because he is in the spotlight. And all the women were pretty much talking about, you know, how they dealt with it. And, you know, she was saying that for her, it's more so like, you know, she's not getting all this attention from men. Like, she doesn't get all this male attention like he's getting versus him. And I didn't take it away from her that she was like trying to compete or like she's like so insecure or any. It was just a very real, vulnerable statement that she made. And I feel like women can relate to that. Like, a lot of women can relate to where she's at right now because she just had 3 kids. Her kids are still very young. She has a baby, you know, and so she hasn't lost all of her baby weight. And, you know, she's probably feeling, you know, her hormones are still all over the place. And, you know, she's in this high profile relationship and have people constantly judging you, people that think they have access to you. She was saying how one lady literally opened her car door, a stranger opened her car door without her permission to look at her baby. And when she told her no, she had the nerve to tell her that she signed up for that. Like, this is basically like, oh, well, this is what you have to deal with now. And she was like, no, I don't. You know, so just the vulnerability she showed just by saying like, hey, you know, I'm not getting all the attention that he's getting. And yeah, I may feel a way about that. Like, you know, people are not. But if you think about it, and the women were good, they supported her. And it was the truth. It's like when you're not putting yourself out there in a dating world or, you know, to be attractive to men and you're just focused on being a mom and a wife and, you know, you have businesses and all these things. No, you're not. And think about it. She is not at the local club or the local bar where she just got people just trying to get at her. You know, people are just not sliding into her DMs. Come on now. And at the end of the day, men, as much as they say, you know, men might say like, oh, marriage is just a piece of paper, this and that. Men actually do respect marriage on some level, especially when it's someone else's wife. They're looking at it. And this is not just the average Joe Blow's wife. This is Steph Curry's wife. He's like one of the most famous basketball players and one of the top ball players of today. So, I mean, it's not a lot of people that are competing with him. It's not a lot of men that are going to step to his wife and ask her for her number, slide in her DMs, you know, give her compliments. It's like they're already going to be intimidated by her situation, period. She's a successful woman. And a lot of, even if you're not married and even if you are just dating or whatever, most successful women can relate to that. They can relate to not having their doors knocked down by men or having problems with finding men that are not intimidated by their success. Because successful women have an air about themselves. And I talked about it a little bit on the podcast. There's a little peacockiness that goes on when you got your shit together. You know, when you got your shit together, your attitude is going to be much different than someone that needs something from you. You know, if you need something from somebody, you're going to be a little bit more humble. You know, you have a little bit more to show, a little bit more to do. You have a little bit more to prove. But a woman that already has her shit together, who's been through some shit, got kids already, whatever the situation is, it's going to be a little harder to be approached by men because a lot of men are going to be insecure or feel like they can't come at you, whatever. So the fact that she even said that, I felt like it was good for her to even to get it off her chest and to say it. And she was in a safe place. She felt like she was in a safe place among her family. And so it's like, it's true. I mean, when you just have a baby, you're not feeling your best. If you are used to being you know, in shape, or if you're used to being just a size different than where you are now, if you start gaining weight, especially when society is so judgmental about you being thick or chunky or whatever, even if you just had a baby yesterday, all these pictures you're, you know, accept, I'm expected to post. And, you know, if you're running business, all businesses are ran pretty much through social media. So people want to see you. You're the face of your brand. And you just had a damn baby. It's like, come on now. Let's be a little more empathetic towards our other female counterparts, our other, you know, sisters, our other wives, our other, you know, women, period. It's like, we got to be easier on each other. People are so hard. It's so critical of things that are just natural. It's like you naturally supposed to gain weight. Now, if she wasn't gaining weight or she was skinny, then you would be saying that she was stressed out because her man is not happy with her. So no, of course, her husband, he probably doesn't give her the amount of attention that she might crave right now. And if you are a wife that's listening and you just had a baby and you don't have a husband that's just doting all over you, you know, understand that there's a change in your relationship right now because you have something that is a little more priority, which is the baby. You know, so your husband may be giving the baby more attention than you're getting, or if you're at home, then your husband may have to work more hours because you're at home, and so there's a financial difference. You know, now there's a financial vulnerability because there's only one working person. You got to take care of the baby. So there's just so many factors that go into marriage and motherhood and being a wife and all these different things. It's like, be sensitive to people. There's so much going on. So like I said before, I just lost myself in my own topic. But like I said before, if you are a wife that's listening and you just had a baby, or you recently, you know, have had a bunch of kids, or you have kids back to back and you haven't gotten back to your place of where you were before, just understand that, you know, you're just going through a season. It is just a season. It is not a priority for you to get back to who you were before. Your them same jeans you're trying to squeeze into your jeans that you were in before, you know, and just understand that. Don't be so hard on your husband because he's also going through some type of transition. And even with Aisha, you know, they were so hard on her for saying she's not getting male attention, just assuming that her husband is just ignoring her because she gained weight, or he's ignoring her for, he's fucking busy. It's like if you have a man that just sit around the house all day and doesn't work, of course he has all day in the all the hours in the of the day to dote over you and be in your face or whatever. But if you have somebody that actually has a job or who is has a very demanding career and they can't be there all day every day, well, guess what? His top priority is not going to be giving him his wife attention all the time. His top priority is providing for his family. So no, she's not going to get the same attention that she would get if her husband was home all the time. You know, so and that can feel lonely. That can feel, you know, you could feel it could stress you out, especially if you know that he out here and got, you know, women throwing themselves at beautiful women, you know, top of the line women throwing themselves at him. That's a tough spot. You know, it's hard for, I mean, you got Bob the banker who still get pussy thrown at him at the bank, and he ain't even really making no real money. You know, we got this women that men that's not even working got they DMs blowing up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, come on, I need people to be a little more realistic about what's going on, about real life, and not get too carried away about what they see on TV as what a real relationship looks like. And be more sensitive to people that are actually being vulnerable and opening up and sharing with you intimate details of their relationship so that you can learn something. If everybody keeps shutting down people every time they open their mouth, they're just going to keep their mouths shut and then you're not going to know the tea. Okay? So we want to encourage people to have the conversation, encourage people to open up and be vulnerable so that we can really see what's going on so that we can feel that it's more relatable. Because the whole conversation that they were having on the Red Talk table was all relatable. You do not have to be a basketball wife to understand that your marriage goes through stages. You don't have to be a basketball wife to understand that there takes balance to make yourself feel sane. Okay? So there's a lot of things that you can pull from the interview and not being judgmental about whose weight, whose, you know, husband is who, or who's making money, who's not. The end of the day, we want people to feel comfortable to share, and so that you're able and be and have an opening ear to be able to listen and take in the information so that you can grow as a person yourself, you know? So I'm sorry, guys. I just get very annoyed when I see stupidity. It's like, come on, do you want to learn or do you want to stay stuck? Because if you want to learn, then you have to understand that everything that people are saying is going on is not going to feel good. If you really want to know the truth about something, if there's any marriages, if you know anyone that's married, if you got really, really close to any person's relationship to be on the inside of whatever's going on in their relationship, you are going to know that things are not as perfect as they look on the outside. People got shit going on. Everybody got shit going on. So the closer you get to a real relationship, it's going to be more relatable because you're going to see that everybody is going through something that you could probably relate to. So if you're looking for some cookie cutter bullshit, it doesn't even exist. And that's why you're still single today, because you're looking for something that does not exist. It's not real. Real relationships require commitment. Real relationships require understanding, and real relationships require change. And we're not in control of any of it. We're only in control of ourselves. So, on that note, I just wanted to share that with you guys because I wanted to just be in support of the wives and understanding that, you know, people may on the outside looking in think that just because you're married that you don't have relationship problems, or they think that you're trying to hide them. But really, in all honesty, people are just trying to protect a fragile space. You know, people are very protective of their marriages and their husbands, and a lot of times people don't want to share because they don't want to get the ridicule, which is what happens. People are just judgmental, and they don't know what's going on, so they just attack it, you know, or they're jealous and they're envious, and so they just want to make people feel bad because that's how they feel. So, but I definitely wanted to do a podcast just supporting wives and, you know, letting you know that I can relate. I can, you know, I want to share. I want to focus more on marriage topics. And, you know, I'm just still trying to find my balance in even doing this type of a show because I know that I'm valuable. I know that I have a lot of information to share. I know a lot of women, and I know a lot of women that want to share. And so I want to be able to bring the culture, some real truth. I want to bring value, and I just need to know, you know, which direction I need to go in, or if there's even room to do all of it. So I definitely have narrowed my scope, and I am more focused on married moms and single moms. But I definitely want to prioritize wives and supporting wives because I feel like, you know, we want to nurture what's there too, you know, and I definitely have advice and tips and support for women that are not married too. But I also want to not disinclude, I don't even know if that's a word. I don't want to uninclude, or I can't even think of the word right now. It's been almost an hour. But I don't want wives to feel like I'm not supporting them because I'm too focused on like helping people build relationships or get married. You know, I do recognize that this is a population, being a wife, especially being a black wife, we don't get the support that we need from each other. And I want to be able to do that. I want to provide more support and opportunities for more support. So that's all I got for today. Thank you for listening. I'm almost done. I have one more thing that I wanted to share that Jada had said at the end of her episode that I thought was awesome. Okay, so she was saying how at the end, Sonny Curry said that, you know, she's lived this life and that, you know, she wants to be a support to people, but she also has her own marriage that she's trying to keep. And she wants to continue. So she doesn't try to tell people what to do in their marriages. And I definitely agree with her on that. You know, I don't want to tell people what to do in their marriages. I would just want to be a support. If you come to me and ask me questions, I definitely, you know, can give my two cents. But for the most part, I just want to open up the conversation and open up the doors to the conversation and for more women to feel supported and, you know, the people that are not so willing to share or able to share or feel comfortable sharing, that they are able to get some good advice and they're able to get, you know, some feedback concerning, you know, topics that may come up within marriages. And so I definitely want to encourage that between wives. And then Jada was saying that when we can show our imperfections but still show the deep love, it can encourage people to want to share more. And I totally agree with that. You know, just because people are sharing their imperfections in their relationship does not mean that they are on the brink of divorce and that that should be something that you attack or make them feel like, you know, their marriage is not as good, or that's what I would never want. That's exactly why I don't want to be married, because I don't want to go through that. Or I don't want to, oh, she's married to him, but he did that to her, or she did this to him. Oh, I would never want to be married because I don't want to go through that. Just understanding that people go through phases in their relationship, and the last thing they need in that fragile time is somebody attacking that one thing because they decided to open up and share it. That's why people are closing up, because they don't want to share, because they don't want to be attacked, and they don't want their marriage to look like it's not good. So they just don't say anything at all. So when you do have an opportunity to learn from people, take that opportunity. And at the end, when Sonia Curry, she thanked all the other women and said that she did not have, she never did find her female group. I really empathize with her with that. You know, we definitely have to be more supportive of each other, and definitely find your tribe. You know, make that a priority to find supportive women. It does not have to be a group of 10. Even if you find one solid friend, a solid wife, and I say wife in particular because you definitely need all sorts of friends, you need all your friends, but you definitely, if you are married, you should have a group of wives or a wife that you can confide in, that you can talk to, that you can feel supported with, you know, that you can really share your stuff with, because it's going to help you with your marriage. And it is difficult because people don't want to share and people are afraid, but you definitely have to bring God into it and pray and, you know, hope that God brings you good people, trustworthy people, and that, you know, your own integrity is drawing that to you. You know, be the person that you want. Be the friend that you want. And you will attract good people. You will attract other supportive wives, and to keep this thing going. So that's all I got for today. I have not worked on my closing yet, but since I do have a few little extra minutes, I may work on that today. I'm not sure if I have time. I've been working on this podcast for most of the day and getting myself together. But just want to keep you guys encouraged. And thank you so much for listening. I'm all done with my notes. I hope this helps. I went a little long today. I'm almost at an hour. Hope you guys didn't get tired of listening to me talk. And so I am definitely exiting the building. Leave me a review. Let me know how you like the podcast. You can DM me at Modern Mommy 2, MODERNMOMMIE2, and leave me some comments and follow me and share the page and let everybody know what's going on over here. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.